Arachayim and Tavkuf and Aleph. That Tisha B'Av is a powerful force. Tisha B'Av, no Bezdin can come and get rid of. Why is Tisha B'Av such a big deal? Because, to borrow a phrase from the Gemara, Huchpulei Bahatzaris. It's an expression you find in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yilches in the Beis. The Tisha B'Av is special because the Tzaris were multiplied on Tisha B'Av. So what does that mean, the Tzaris were multiplied? So it sounds like it means that many bad things happen. Because we know our tradition has it that a number of bad things happened on Tisha B'Av. But, as Tosfos points out, that's not a sufficient explanation, because many bad things happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz also. So to simply say that Tisha B'Av is special because of the number of things that happens, so that's not going to cut it. So Tosfos suggests two reasons why Tisha B'Av is still nonetheless distinct, one of them being qualitative and then one of them being quantitative. The qualitative reason Tosu suggests is shiny chubur beis hamikdash dechamir tve, that it's not a function of how many things happened. It's basically a qualitative statement that the destruction of the beis hamikdash was such a major tragedy that that's what puts Tisha B'Av in a different league. Tisha B'Av is beyond Shavuos B'Tammuz and Asar B'Tevis and all of that because of the quality of what happened, because of the chumrah of the destruction of the beis hamikdash. The other suggestion Tosfos gives us is a quantitative one, that it is a function of numbers. And we had already mentioned that numbers is not going to cut it because Shavuos B'Tammuz also has numbers. But Tosfos explains, no, the reason Tisha B'Av has an edge from the perspective of numbers is because Huchpulu Bo Tzara Achas. Since the same thing happened twice, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash happened twice, that's the function of numbers that makes Tisha B'Av special. So these two answers in Tosfos have a special relevance, and we'll get to discussing that a little bit. Now we talk about being mevatel Tisha B'Av, what the Torah was discussing. The Tisha B'Av is not subject to being canceled. So we know the Gemara tells us there was a suggestion to cancel it. This is the opinion of Rebbe. The Gemara says in Megillah. And Megillah Daf Hei Amid Beis, Bikesh Rebbe Laker is Tisha B'Av. Rebbe wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. So what exactly does that mean? That sounds like a very radical idea. Whether it's possible or not, it sounds like a very radical idea. With, you know, Rebbe wasn't mourning over the Churban. Why did Rebbe want to uproot Tisha B'Av? So Tosfos over there in Megillah gives two suggestions why that is. What exactly does it mean, really, when we say that Rebbe wanted to be Oikir Tisha B'Av? So one suggestion is that he didn't really want to cancel Tisha B'Av the fast, but he wanted to knock it down from the chumras that it had. That we know that Tisha B'Av, and this is going to be the thrust of a lot of our discussion, that Tisha B'Av is treated in a different way than the other three Tanaisim that it shares space with, right? The four Tanaisim form a unit, Asar B'Tevis and some Gedalia and Shavuos B'Tammuz, together with Tisha B'Av. Those four are all part of this set that commemorates the events leading up to and the destruction itself of the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that Tisha B'Av is treated differently. That the other three Tanaisim are only daytime Tanaisim, and they're only prohibited B'Achilu B'Shtiyah. And Tisha B'Av has five inuyim and is 25 hours long. So it's that chumrah that Rebbe wanted to get rid of. That's the first theory. And the second theory, which is very striking, and we'll discuss this in a few minutes, is that, no, Rebbe just wanted to be okir Tisha B'Av, referring to the date, that he felt the fast should not be on the 9th of Av, should rather be on the 10th of Av. Why was that the case? Because this is an opinion also attributed to Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan had said, this is a Gemara in Tainus, Nafchavtes and Aleph, that if I had been there at that time, said Rabbi Yochanan, if I had been at the meeting when the Vad HaRabbanim instituted Tisha B'Av, so I would have voted for the 10th. I would have said the fast should be on the 10th. Because, as tradition has it, Rubo Shel Heichel Nisraf, most of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 10th, which is why, of course, our practice of observing the 9 days as the 9.5 days, that we continue these practices of mourning up until Chatzos this week on Wednesday, is because the Beis HaMikdash was still burning all that time, And therefore, we continue to have these hanhagos of Tisha B'Av. And Rabbi said, according to me, Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi apparently was agreeing with him, that if it was up to me, so since most of the destruction happened on the 10th, I would have made the fast day on the 10th. That would have been the day that I would have chosen to commemorate. So according to the second answer in Tosa, so Rebbe wanted to change the date of Tisha B'Av, move it from the 9th to the 10th. And we'll discuss in a minute that there are very big issues with making this Tosa work with the rest of the Gemara. Now, Sfarim that talk about this raised the question of why, how could you even consider being Mevatel the Gzeira of an earlier Bezdin, which was a topic that we touched upon last week a little bit when we talked about Gzeira and Siag. So how is that even a possibility? We know the general rule is that Ein Bezdin Yochel Vatel Divrei Chaveiro Elohim Kein Gadol Menu B'Chochma Minyan. It's not usually possible for a Bezdin to cancel the details of an earlier Bezdin, cancel the Gzeiras of an earlier Bezdin. So the Rav Zhalti in the Sefer Mishnah Siavit suggests that this is Rabbi L'Shitaso, that there is a discussion in the Gemara in Shavuos, in the second paragraph of Shavuos, that the opinion of Rabbi is that Makriv and Afal Pishain Bais, which is also a topic we'll come back to, that according to Rabbi it was possible to bring Karbanos even without a Beis HaMikdash. So maybe Rabbi thought the fast should be lessened in severity because the consequences were not as great. Again, it's something we'll come back to. And maybe it's a question within the idea of Ein Bezdin Yochel Vatel Divrei Chaveiro. Maybe that only applies if you generally agree with him on the details, but you wouldn't have made this takana. But if you have a machlokis in lamdas, you have a machlokis in halacha based on the rules of the game that affect this takana, so then it's possible to disagree with the details and have the takana turn out differently. So that's something that Rizalti discussed. It's a little bit of a tangential point, just something that's interesting to be aware of. So why Taka is Tisha B'Av on the 9th and not the 10th? So the reason Chazal gave us, the Gemara says, Tchila Aschala de Parnusa Adifa, that we want to commemorate the beginning of the destruction. Many, many Achronim all make the same point, that they feel this is relevant to a Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Daftan Beis and Beis that discusses the concept of Vovo Priestim V'Chilulua, that immediately when the invaders came into the Beis HaMikdash, so they took away any Kedusha the Beis HaMikdash had. So therefore, the fact that the burning was going on for a while is not really so significant to us, because as the Achronim have the expression, so Bayis Sarif Sarif, that which was destroyed was a burnt building. Now, once the Beis HaMikdash was invaded, from that first moment, it already lost its Kedusha. So then what was burning the next day was a building that was already, in essence, for us destroyed. So therefore, we really took the hit on the 9th, and the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was burning the rest of the day is not something that's so significant for us. There is also a discussion, which I'm not going to get into right now, but you may be interested as far as Lumdus is concerned. So there is a discussion in Svarim how this relates to another machlokus that Rabbi Yochanan is involved in, machlokus in the second parak of Bava Kama, of Eishim Mishim Chetz, of Eishim Mishim Mamano. Gemara has a din when somebody does damage with fire. So do we treat it as something he does directly? If I set a fire to something, and then it takes a half an hour for the fire to do the damage, so is that like an arrow that I shot in the air, so it takes a few seconds for the arrow to get to the point, but basically it's a direct action that I did? Or do we say it's like an animal? If I have an animal and I set the animal loose and the animal's going to do danger, going to do damage later on, so that responsibility traces back to me, but not as a consequence of something that I'm doing right now actively. So when I set fire and fire does damage, is that treated like damage that I do with an arrow, which is basically immediate, even though there's a lag? Or is it like an animal that's doing damage on its own through my responsibility? So this is a din in the Gemara, and how exactly destruction of the Beis HaMikdash relates to that, the fire in the Beis HaMikdash that was burning the next day, do we say it all traces back to the first day? This is a discussion that traces back to the Avinezer and others. If anybody would like more comments about this, I'll be happy to provide them, but just a tangential footnote. The famous Namuka Yosef talks about how can we have Shabbos candles if you say that, that when you have fire going, it's if you're doing something right now, so then how could you have candles burning on Shabbos as if you're lighting them on Shabbos? So it ties in with this. It's a different discussion. But in any case, so whatever it is, so the Gemara tells us we chose the 9th of Av. That's the Tchilas Peronusa, and the Achronim explained that that's really the only part that was significant. And Rabbi says he would have moved it to the 10th. Rabbi Yochanan says he would have moved it to the 10th, and according to Tosus, that's what Rabbi was saying here also, either that or that he would have knocked it down from the Chumras. Now, these Chumras of Tisha B'Av, it's interesting how exactly these Chumras came to be. Why is it, as we mentioned so far, the Gemara is telling us that Tisha B'Av has a special quality to it, Huchbul Bo HaTzaris, but as far as the mechanics of Halacha, so how exactly does it work that Tisha B'Av is treated more severely? How does it play out that Tisha B'Av has this longer duration and has more intense inuyim? So there is a famous theory of the Ramban in Taras HaAdam, and the Taras HaAdam is a sefer the Ramban has on Avelus, so Tisha B'Av is a public Avelus, Tisha B'Av gets discussed in there as well. So the Ramban has this theory that's based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches that we heard about in Shalosh Shuras and Shabbos, that the Gemara tells us that the Yomim Tovim, that the Tzom, the fast days of the Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tevis, Tzom HaRaviv, Tzom HaChamim, all these Taneisim, Yil Beis Yisrael Asasun HaSimcha, will ultimately be holidays. So the Gemara says that's wonderful. So new, when's it going to be? Because on the one hand, the very same pasuk that tells us it's going to be holidays uses the word Tzom, is telling us it's a fast day, so which is it? So the Gemara says, well, it's a little bit of both. That when we have Shmad, when we're persecuted, so these days are fast days. And when we have Shalom, and it's a big dispute in Rishonim how to define Shalom, we'll say for now it means the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not at all clear according to all Rishonim if that's what it means. Whatever it means, some elusive point of Shalom, that will be the time when these days will be holidays. And that's the pshat on Tzom and on holiday. But what about in between? What about the period of time when we have neither Shmad nor Shalom? So the Gemara says, then it's basically optional. Ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin. And the exception is going to be Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, ho'l bo'atzaris, is not optional. So Tisha B'Av is either one or the other. It's either a fast day or it's a holiday, but it doesn't have this in-between state. And the other three have this in-between state. So the Ramban explains, the Ramban quotes him in his commentary to Rosh Hashanah, and this Ramban is in Taras HaAdam. Ramban says, that's how Tisha B'Av became different from the other three Taneisim. Because the other three Taneisim really should have been like Tisha B'Av. But if I want to know, what's a fast day? If you tell me there's a fast day, so I open up the Torah, and where do I find a fast day? Yom Kippur. So if I want to know what a fast day is, I'm going to look in the Torah, and they're going to tell me a fast day is a 25-hour fast, 24-hour fast, with 5 inuyim. So whoever heard of a fast during the daytime hours only, with only achila and shtiyah prohibited? So Ramban says, no one ever heard of it. It's not a real concept. And fast day really means it's got to be like Yom Kippur. So really, all four fast days are really Yom Kippur-type fast days. And the reason three of them we get off easy nowadays is because of this Gemara, that really, Bizman HaZeh, the fast days are optional. The Beged, the Rotsu, Misanin, Rotsu, Misanin. And again, to Sushdal, this is comparable to our previous discussion of Tfilas Arvis Rishos. So it seems that now we've established it as Chova, that now Klal Yisrael has accepted these optional fast days as some type of obligatory practice. But since they were accepting them willingly, so we had the ability to call the shots. So we're saying that yes, we're willing to acknowledge Shavasu B'Tamas and Asar B'Tevis, we're willing to acknowledge these days and to have some type of fast to mark the occasion. But since we're doing it willingly, we're now willing to take upon this whole package of 25 hours and 5 inuyim. We'll fast during the daytime and we'll fast only from Achil and Shdi. And we have that authority because since we were accepting it upon ourselves, we were able to take upon this watered down version. But Tisha B'Av, since it's not optional, so Tisha B'Av just remained what all the other fast days would have been in that more souped up version. Right? Good question. I know you're asking. We'll come back to that in a second. That's an important point, which we'll come to in a minute. Joey, that your question, Elder? Okay, so yeah, that's the question that we'll deal with in a second. So basically, I'm sorry for cutting you off. We'll get to it in a second. So basically, this is the Ramban's theory that everything else has been modified and it's Tisha B'Av that's normal. Now, this is a very popular theory. This is a theory that we hear quoted often. It's a question, though, whether or not it's really accepted by any later Svarim. And the Netziv, for one, in his commentary in the Sheoltis, has a long discussion where he goes through every reason why he thinks this is wrong. He has a number of proofs from Tanakh, where, first of all, he questions this presumption that there's no model in the Bible for a fast day that's not all day. So he doesn't think this is true. He says there are models. There is such a thing as a daytime fast day. And he doesn't buy the whole theory. Now, one of the problems, as the questions were about to come, one of the issues that is raised is that if I follow the Ramban, then it would seem to suggest that if there is a situation of Shmad, and there certainly have been situations of Shmad between the time the Gemara was saying this and now, there certainly have been periods of Shmad. So if that was the case, it would seem to be that these fast days should be obligatory in the full sense. And there are two ways to answer that. One way is that this is a raya against the Ramban, the fact that Klal Yisrael does not seem to have that hanhaga. Or the other way is say nachanami. It is an appropriate hanhaga, and you do find some things in Svarim like that, that a Baal Nefesh should take this idea into account, that maybe during the periods of Shmad, which have certainly existed throughout history, maybe one should be observing Asar B'Tavis in a 24-hour format. And there's discussion in the Mechas Elazar. And in another Svarim. So there is such a discussion, but it does seem to be, for the most part, we don't hear about this in our education. We don't seem to be aware of this being practiced, that people are, during the Holocaust, I don't know how much we hear that this was the case. So that seems to be an indication, not like the Ramban's theory, that it's probably not the case that these days are potentially full-time fast days if the situation was one of Shmad. So then, we're forced to assume something else. The snapshot that Tisha B'Av is normal and everything else was knocked down. But rather, Tisha B'Av is enhanced. That yes, these fast days really are just daytime fast days. And Tisha B'Av has been souped up. So how does Tisha B'Av get souped up? How does Tisha B'Av get enhanced? So within that, there are probably two possible ways to look at it. Maybe two and a half, you can combine the two, whatever it is, but at least two ways to look at it. On the one hand, you could say, well, we have these prohibitions, such as Anilus HaSandal, and Sicha, and Tashma Shamita. So where else do you find prohibitions like that? Avelus. Kippur also will get to that. But Avelus had these prohibitions. And we know there are a number of other prohibitions that Avelus and Tisha B'Av share. Sheil Shalom, and sitting on chairs, and Talmud Torah, as we discussed, Pekudi Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev. So clearly there are prohibitions of Avelus that are in effect on Tisha B'Av. So some suggest, and I think this is a position that the Netziv is endorsing, that the Chumrah of Tisha B'Av comes from the fact that it is a grafting of a normal fast day together with communal Avelus. They've taken an occasion of Avelus and a normal fast day and put them together, and you get an enhanced day that we observe for the entire period of its duration with not eating and drinking and Yehugei Avelus, which accounts for the other Inuyim and then some. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is that Tisha B'Av has some inherent significance in the day itself. And this Chazal have told us already that Tisha B'Av was the Yom Mucham L'Paranias, that it goes back to the Meraglim kvetched on Tisha B'Av, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Atem Bechisem Bechiyah Shel Chinam, and Yekfu Lechem Bechiyah Shel Doros, right, that you cried, you were kvetching, you cried an unwarranted crying, so I'm going to be koveyer for you that there will be a crying for many generations on this day. So from that point and on, Tisha B'Av has been considered in Halacha and Hashgafa to be a day, Rahman al-Islam, of Peranias for Klal Yisrael, that there is something inherent in the day, and therefore perhaps our relationship to Tisha B'Av, it's not that we're commemorating an event, but that we're responding to the essence of the day, Yom Mucham L'Paranias. So basically what it is, it's like a yontif, in the negative sense. But a yontif, where we're observing the qualities of the day itself, and where, as opposed to sukkahs or shavuos, where we're responding to a day of simcha, we're responding to a day which has negative attributes, and therefore we're fasting on that day. And then again, so when we look to the Torah to find a fast day, so we find Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur has all these inuyim and has this duration. So maybe Tisha B'Av is a souped-up fast day to model itself after Yom Kippur, and follows rules of Yom Kippur. And you can perhaps see indications of this in the Minchas Tinuch and the Sefer Achinuch in the discussion of Yom Kippur in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel. So there are some interesting observations to make about this. Rabbi Elie Levine from Lakewood has his Svarim Divrei Shira. So Rabbi Elie Levine suggested that the two answers that we mentioned in Tosus in the beginning, the two Pshatim and Yom Shehuch B'lo Bo Hatzaris, so they seem to parallel these two theories. That if you say Tisha B'Av is special because the destruction of Beis HaMikdash is such a big deal, so then it seems what you're saying is that we're focusing on the Avelos of the day. The day is a day in which a tremendous tragedy happened, a tragedy that's considered to be in a different plane than other tragedies, and therefore it's Avelos that dominates the Nihugim of the day. But if you're focusing on the other answer in Tosfos, that it's Huchbulo Bo Tzara Achas, that some significance attaches itself to the fact that the same thing happening twice. So what does that mean? So who cares the same thing happened twice? So why is the same thing happening twice worse than two bad things happening, two different bad things happening? So apparently the idea of the same thing happening twice is a reflection of some type of pattern. It's a message that there is something in this day itself, and we know that by Nisa and by death, the rule for chazakas is two rather than three. So it's a chazaka in the day that there is something very negative in the day itself. And therefore, it's that we're responding to. And the message of saying Huchbulo Bo Tzara Achas is that there is something inherent in the day, and therefore it's souped up. It's different than Shabbos Batamas or Asar Batavis when we're commemorating an event. I'm sorry?
What sefer is that in?
Divrei Shira. Now, a number of Achronim, the Turi Evin and the Gra and his commentary Shulchan Aruch, point out, as we alluded to earlier, a pretty significant difficulty in the Tosfos, the other Tosfos that we mentioned, the two theories in Rebbe. What did Rebbe want to do? When Rebbe wanted to be Mevatel Tisha B'Av, so he wanted to either take away the Chumras, or he wanted to move it from the 9th to the 10th. So that second theory is very hard to read with the Gemara. If you look back at the Gemara itself, so the Gemara says, the Gemara itself already addressed the question of what was going on, how could Rebbe want to get rid of Tisha B'Av? It's too striking an idea for us to accept wholeheartedly. So the Gemara says, really what the case was, it was a situation, as very often happens, as we know, that Tisha B'Av fell out on a Sunday, and it was Nidche, it was pushed off from the 9th to the 10th, and perhaps the attitude should be, is what I was reflecting, perhaps we should say, that if we're not going to have it on the right day, so let's forget about it completely. If we're going to push it off to the 10th, let's just move on. So then how does Tosfos read with the Gemara? According to Tosfos, this Rebbe always wanted Tisha B'Av to be observed on the 10th. But according to the Gemara, the times when it worked out like he wanted it, the times when it was pushed off to the 10th, he said, let's forget about it. The same guy who wanted it to always be on the 10th is saying, let's forget about it when it actually does come out on the day when he always wanted it to be. That's what the Turi Evin and the Vilna Gaon point out, seems to be a big difficulty. So there is a sefer called Avnei Shoam, was written by Rav Nachum Eisenstadt, who's in, I think he's in Boston now, he used to be in Detroit, maybe every while you know from there. So in his sefer Avnei Shoam, so he suggests like this, that the dispute between Rebbe and Chachamim was the question of what is it that establishes the severity of Tisha B'Av. That Rebbe was believing that it was really the Avelos component to Tisha B'Av that was dominant. And the reason we should observe Tisha B'Av with enhanced restrictions is a reflection of Avelos. And Chachamim apparently believed that it was a function of the day itself. So Rebbe was saying, According to me, it's about Avelos. So therefore, it should be on the 10th rather than the 9th, because more tragedies happened on the 10th, or more of the tragedy happened on the 10th than happened on the 9th. So since he's coming from an Avelos perspective, he would have preferred the 10th. And if you're going to make it on the 9th rather than the 10th, so then he doesn't think they should have such chumras, because the Avelos is giving it the chumra, and the Avelos is more appropriate on the 10th. So if you're going to have it on the 9th, then don't have it with all the chumras. Don't have it with the extra significance. So that's the first theory in Tosfos, that it's about taking away the chumras. Now what about this date issue? So Rabbi was saying, the way the Avi Shalom was explaining, Rabbi was saying that, so according to you who disagree with me, according to Chachamim who disagree with me, so the reason you're having Tisha B'Av on the 9th as opposed to the 10th is because you're responding to something in the day itself. You're saying the 9th of Av has this special status, and that's what we're reflecting. So if that's the case, that's not transferable to any other day. So if it's going to get pushed off, so then you should forget about it. Avelus, we know from practice, Avelus does move. If Chas V'Shalom, somebody passes away on Chol HaMoed, so the funeral takes place in Chol HaMoed, but the Avelus, which normally would have started right after the funeral, is pushed off until after Yontif. So Avelus is movable. Mourning practices are movable. But a day itself, you can't take the essence of a day and move it to a different day. So if you can't tell me that the Chumra of Tisha B'Av comes from something in the day itself, it's not shaykh to move it. So that was the way he wanted to explain that Rabbi and Chachamim were arguing on what is the goring for the severity of Tisha B'Av. According to Rabbi, it's Avelos, so therefore it should be on the 10th when most of the bad stuff happened. And if it's on the 9th, it shouldn't have any chumras. And if it's on the 9th, you're saying it's reflective of something in the day itself. So Rabbi's saying, so that you can't move. If you're asking me, I should always have it on the 10th. But if you're going to have it on the 9th because of the day, the quality of the 9th of Av, that's not transferable from one day to another. So that happens to be actually a very significant discussion in the halacha. As we mentioned, so we know very often we have this scenario where Tisha B'Av falls down on Shabbos. It's a very common occurrence. This is a rare year where it's not the case. In general, since every day in the Jewish calendar can only fall out on four possible days, the way the calendar is set up, so Tisha B'Av only has four candidates, and two of them are Shabbos and Sunday, and Shabbos will push off to Sunday, so half of the possible candidates are going to be Sundays. Tisha B'Av is very often on a Sunday. But very often, it's not that it's on a Sunday, but it fell out on Shabbos and was pushed off till Sunday. So that's a shaila in Poskim. The Torah brings Machlokas and Rishonim, Machlokas between Rabbeinu Yitzchak and Maharam Rudenberg and the Rush, as to the question of Tashma Shamita on Tisha B'Av, that's Shabbos. So when we push off the fast of Tisha B'Av for Sunday, so what exactly is going on? So do we say that Tisha B'Av is a fast, and we are able to take that fast and observe it not on that day, but on the next day? So the entire event of Tisha B'Av has been shifted to the next day? Or do we say, no, Tisha B'Av is something that reflects the Ninth of Av itself, and it's not transferable? Now the practice of fasting, that we could do on a different day. But the essence of Tisha B'Av is not something we can move around. So if Tisha B'Av is just an enhanced fast, I can move it. So then, the fact that we observe Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av in those years means that the 10th of Av now has the status of Tisha B'Av. But if Tisha B'Av is responding to the day itself, so then really that's not subject to being moved. And what we do on the 10th is only to make up for the fact that we didn't fast on Tisha B'Av, so we fast the next day. But basically, Tisha B'Av was Shabbos, and we should be fasting, but we can't because it's Shabbos, so we make up the fast the next day. And therefore, this question of Tashma Shamita is part of a broader question of Avelus Shabbat Sina, that we don't allow public Avelus on Shabbos, but things that are in private that nobody knows about, so maybe we should observe. That's the practice when it comes to personal Avelus. A personal Avelus, someone who's in Shiva on Shabbos, Rahman al-San, on Shabbos, they do things in public, but private things in their household, they still observe Avelus, called Avelus Shabbat Sina. So too, on Tisha B'Av, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, maybe we should say that these personal, private things should be observed. And that seems to be the dispute. How exactly do you understand what's going on? Which seems to trace back to this question of how is Tisha B'Av embedded in the day itself? And this also affects this question that we mentioned about learning on Erev Tisha B'Av, that there is a Shaila in Poskim. within those who are machmir not to learn after Chatzos on Erev Tisha B'Av. So if that falls out on Shabbos, so it's a multi-leveled question how to relate to that. First of all, even let's say Tisha B'Av itself is on the 9th, the 9th falls out on Sunday, so at Shabbos, when Shabbos is Erev Tisha B'Av, so it's one shaila in Poskim whether or not this is now, can be three steps removed. If you hold it's also to learn on Erev Tisha B'Av, so then it's a shaila whether or not Shabbos has the same din. And it's a third shaila away, whether or not if the day is Shabbos, it's Shabbos is really Tisha B'Av, so perhaps all the more so there should be a chumras. This is a discussion in Poskim, which also comes out of this question. Do we say that the Tisha B'Av that takes place on Shabbos, on some level, is Tisha B'Av? Now this question of making up whether a Sunday is a makeup for the fast that's on Shabbos, or whether that's the fast itself, so has a nafkamina for what would seem to be a little bit of an obscure situation, but certainly could happen. If you have a child who becomes an adult, a kaddish and a skadol, on Tisha B'Av itself, I mean on the 10th of Av, somebody becomes a bar mitzvah or a bas mitzvah on the 10th of Av, and that's a year when the fast of Tisha B'Av is being observed on the 10th, so then it's a shiloh whether such a person has to fast or not. That if Tisha B'Av as a whole has been moved to that day, so then somebody who's bar mitzvah that day is chayiv in all the mitzvahs of that day, so then they would be obligated to observe Tisha B'Av. It's not the best day to have your bar mitzvah, but no. If, however, it's a tashlumen for Shabbos, so then if I wasn't yet an adult on Shabbos, so then I'm not going to be chayiv to make up the fast that wasn't relevant to me yet. So that's a discussion of Poskim, which also seems to come out of this question of what exactly is going on when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Now, just parenthetically, so you might say, well, it doesn't really make much of a difference, because we know that we have chinuch by fast days. Mishnah tells us by Yom Kippur that a year or two before Godless, we start training the children to fast. So what real difference does it make, this question of a day, if he's a day away from Bar Mitzvah, so Pashas, we're already training them how to fast. So either way, he's basically going to fast, whether he's Bar Mitzvah or not. It's not totally true, because that could also be totally on this question. That the question of whether or not there is chinuch by Tisha B'Av should seem to relate to this issue. That if Tisha B'Av is a concept in Avelus, so then the Rishonim write that there's no chinuch by Avelus. That Al Pi Din, emotionally speaking and practically speaking, what happens is a different question. But Rachman Al-Aslan, a person is a child and loses a parent. So Al Pi Din, the child doesn't really have to be trained in Avelus. Now again, practically speaking, there may be different practices going on, but as far as the halacha of chinuch is concerned, we don't, that it's a little bit of a dispute. And Rishonim, but Pashas, the mitzvah of chinuch to train children in doing mitzvahs is not applicable to Avelus. But if the issue is a Yom Kippur type comparison, so then the Mishnah tells us when it comes to Yom Kippur, so a year or two in advance, we do train the children to fast. And one could assume the Tisha B'Av, if it's following a Yom Kippur model, would probably follow a similar structure. I think
Jerry would agree. Even we're saying that it's based on Avelus, but it's something that we know is coming every year, we still would say that there's no chinuch there?
I would assume. I mean, you have to kind of read into it, but I would have thought so. I mean, I hear where you're coming from, but I think the general issue is that we try to keep Avelus as limited as possible. I think that's the idea. David?
But as far as the first question about this cotton fast, the Mamanusha who works out is Pata. So either it's in Avelus, in which case it's no chinuch, or if it's in Chomaryom, in which case it's not transferred.
Ah, I hear what you're saying. So, but it doesn't have to, even in this case in Chomer Sayom, it doesn't have to transfer. So if it's comparable to Yom Kippur, so it's Tashlumin. It's Tashlumin for the fast he wasn't Chayivin. But he would have done anyway. He's not going to be Chayiv Mikra Adin. You're saying that's going to be the difference.
Right.
But either way, he's not going to be Chayiv Mikra Adin. But nonetheless, he still would have been doing it. Right? Mikra Adin wouldn't have really made a difference. But the point is that had the fast been the day before, he still, when the fast fell out when he was 12 and a half, or when he was 11, maybe he still would have been fasting anyway, so nice, what difference does it really make? But you're at Baker Adin, you could say that it's going to come out the same either way. This also has a very significant nafkamina, and again, considering the fact that this is a situation that comes up all the time, so it's Machlok Saposkin, whether or not when Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos and is pushed off to Sunday, so the machlokas whether or not there is a din of Shavuot Shechalbo. Right? Do we say that this is going to go in very opposite directions? That if Tisha B'Av is Sunday, so there basically is no Shavuot Shechal Bo. If Tisha B'Av is Shabbos, so there is an entire week of Shavuot Shechal Bo. So it's either the most extreme Shavuot Shechal Bo or it's the least extreme Shavuot Shechal Bo. And again, this is a very prevalent situation, so this is a very serious nafka mina. The question in the Machlok is a poskim you find of whether or not there is a Shavuot Shechal Bo in those years when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos seems to tie back to this issue as well. There is another issue that's reflective of this lumdus, and Achronim relate to this in very different ways, so I'll just tell you the Maamar Kolmos to look at, and you can try to work it out on your own. But there is a question how to relate to the Isser Rechitza on Tisha B'Av. And the Menchas Chinuch points out that the Gemara says in Moed Katan and Daf Tezvav Mibbeis, and the Din is brought near a day in Shin Pei Aleph, that an Ovel is allowed to wash in cold water. But on Tisha B'Av, so he's not allowed to even use cold water to wash. And the Menchas Chinuch therefore suggests that you see there that the Isser of washing on Tisha B'Av is not a function of Avelus, but it's like we said in his name earlier, it's a Yom Kippur comparison. However, if you look in the Brisker Rav and Hilchos Tainius, so you'll find a different way of relating to it, and again, to avoid confusion, we won't discuss it out loud now, but feel free to take a look there at the safe in the Chidushei Maran Riz HaLeiv and Hilchos Tainius, you'll see that he somehow has alumnus to come out of Fakir. But the question of how do you play out different rules of the Isser of washing, do you follow a model that's similar to Yom Kippur, or do you follow a model that's similar to Avelus? And since there are differences between the two, so that's something to look at. And similarly, there's also a Shaila when it comes to the Isser Sicha, that the Marcheshes points out that there is a question how the Isser Sicha applies to Tisha B'Av, that Marcheshes claims that this is a Machlokas, the Talmud, Machlokas Yerushalmi and the Bavli, that the Yerushalmi in Yuma says that on Tisha B'Av it's permissible to anoint yourself in order to get rid of a blemish. But the Bavli talks about differences between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, so the Bavli does not list this, it's the Gemara in Psachim. So the Marcheshes theorizes that this is a function of whether Tisha B'Av is equated with Yom Kippur, and that's where it gets its inuyim from, or is it working off of an Avelis model, where to get rid of a Zuma, it's Mutter, and that's again a question of where the inuyim on Tisha B'Av come from, where does the Chumra of Tisha B'Av come from? So the Marcheshes' point relates to that as well. Hi.
Bit off topic, but shouldn't Sicha be also every time because the Gemara learns it out from Shtiyah?
From Shtiyah, so the question, how absolute we go with that. And the Gemara uses that to create a new category of Sicha. So, what does Sicha Shtiyah mean is the whole deen in Achronim. I mean, it's mamash like Shtiyah, I mean, it's an extension of Shtiyah's discussion of Sefer Dibri Yechezkel, for example. The Achronim have a lumbus to figure out what exactly Sicha Shtiyah means. Okay, so in the Masorah, hi. The 10th, right. So our practice of belief is that we don't, it only goes till the morning, not till Chatzos. We observe them immediately after Tisha B'Av, but not, doesn't go the full day. I'm sorry? I think so. I think we assume that from the morning, next morning everything's mutter. Sorry? So, there is a tshuva of Haigon. The Rav is quoted in the Masorah Journal as discussing a tshuva of Haigon. Sorry. I once heard Rav Chaim Ilson discuss this also in the name of the Rav. That in the Otzer HaGaon, if you find the tshuva from Rav Haigon, concerning the following question, that normally in Avelis, so we know we have a rule called Mixas Hayom Kikulo, that, for example, when it comes to Shiva, so the last day of Shiva is not complete. Only observe Shiva until right after Shachar's. Because of this rule of Mixas Hayom Kikulo. So the question was asked to the Gaonim, why don't we say the same thing by Tisha B'Av? It'll be a Gemal Kekula, right? Let's just have Tisha B'Av until right after Shacharis, and then it'll be over. So they have three answers. One answer is that, look, we're getting off easy to begin with, because we see Rabbi's position that Tisha B'Av really should have been on the 10th, and the disruption was really taking place from the 9th until the middle of the 10th. So really, Meikar Adin, Tisha B'Av should have been 2 days long. So the fact that we only observe Tisha B'Av on the 9th keeps us from dying, which is good, but also is itself a type of Nixiyam Kekulo. So to say we should go even further with that, and we should even observe the 9th only partially, so that's going too far. We already benefit from some type of reduction in how long Tisha B'Av should be. The second answer is that because Mixtayom Kekulo is an Avelos concept, and these Inuyim are not about Avelos, but they're Medinei Tainus. And the third answer is that in Echanami, you're right, that the Avelos components of Tisha B'Av should be limited to Mixtayom, but since some aspects would be and some aspects wouldn't be, so it wouldn't make sense to have a day which is partially over and partially not. Now, how that impacts on the din of sitting in a chair, which is the one thing that we do change in the middle of the day, is a good question, but that's not something he addresses. And he assumes that it's just not consistent to have Tisha B'Av be half over in the middle of the day and half not over. Right?
Does this impact the Psalm people say from the Psalm Adjik about splitting, someone's next to Israel, in Kosar, it's like splitting the day between Yantif and Kol? Interchange of values?
That's what he says. I thought half day means.
But it means you know it's all around, but you don't know what it is.
Oh, you're splitting the practices.
Right. Does it impact that?
I don't think so. I think that what he means here is to have the day, which you're observing in a full fashion, to all of a sudden start, in the middle of the day, start splitting practices. That's not going to make sense. But to have a day when only certain mitzvahs apply, I don't know if that necessarily is affected by this. Okay?
We said it's like a pool that's not because of chassos or just in one.
You're saying even the chair thing is not a kasha because that keeps going till after chatzos. Okay, could be.
But also, one of the first two answers to the tenth, why do we hold practices until the chatzos? If we're saying that we're sort of are doing our mix of yom on the tenth, then it'll only be because of yom, so it should only be to the one and the two.
That's what would have happened had it been. I mean, why should
go on
tonight?
Why should the chatzos on the tenth?
And with the other practices, with the practice of 9 days. Right. Tisha B'Av, the chatzos on the 10th is only like 9 days practice. It's not really relevant to the question of Tisha B'Av because Tisha B'Av is not observed till the 10th. Only 9 days practice are observed till the 10th. Tisha B'Av is over at night. So what Rav Haigo was saying is that Tisha B'Av could have been longer and we're already getting it reduced. What happened, what we do do is... Right. So these three answers, as the Rav pointed out, these three answers in Rav Haigo basically parallel three possibilities we have in our discussion. That either the first answer is that we basically do have Mixtayom Kekulo, which is basically saying that, in other words, Tisha B'Av is a day of Avelos, and we apply the Avelos rules of Mixtayom Kekulo. Second answer is that it's not about Avelos, it's about Tainus. So therefore, there's no Mixtayom Kekulo because it's not an Avelos concept. And the third answer is a combination of both, that we have some elements of Avelos, some elements of Tainus. And because that will reflect itself in split hanhagis, therefore it's not kedai to utilize. Now again, to try to tie this into discussions we've had in brachos, so what about bein hashmashos? Right, so we know that bein hashmashos is the safek zone. So the Gemara in Pesachim has the question, how do we relate to bein hashmashos of Tisha B'Av? Whereas bein hashmashos of Tisha B'Av is aser or is mutter? And the Rambam paskins that bein hashmashos is aser. That we observe Tisha B'Av, you know, starting from shkia, starting from whenever you define bein hashmashos, depending on who you hold, but whatever bein hashmashos is, so that has the dinim of Tisha B'Av. So why is that? So there basically are at least two ways of explaining this. So the Magen Mishnah explains that this is a function of the fact that Tisha B'Av is what we call Divrei Kabbalah. And Divrei Kabbalah, as again the guys from New York have heard discussed many times, that there is an in-between status between Dinim D'Oraisa and Dinim D'Rabbanan. that we know that we have dinim deraisa, so we say sveiko lahachmir, and by dinim derabbanan we normally say sefek lekula. But we have the status of divrei kabbalah. Divrei kabbalah basically refers to those things that are really derabbanan in that they were created by men, but they have an enhanced status because they're mentioned in psukim, i.e., so they're not going to be the Torah, mentioned in psukim in Tanakh. So that's called divrei kabbalah, and that has a kind of an enhanced status because the same Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Ches has an expression there that divrei kabbalah ki divrei Torah dami. That for some purpose, the purposes in the Gemara were kind of limited, but there the Gemara has this expression that divrei kabbalah are treated like divrei Torah, and the Turi Evan understood. Turi Evan in his commentary to Megillah, Shagas Ari in his commentary to Megillah, understood this to mean that we treat these dinim drabanan essentially, but these divrei kabbalah, like divrei Torah, we say sofik lahachmer. Now it happens to be that a number of Rishonim were against this. Pashas Duran in a couple places is not like this. And the Nod Yehuda points out that the Rambam and the Ravid and Mikvos both say that Suffolk Halachal Moshe Nisinai is the kula, so certainly Suffolk the Kabbalah would be the kula. But in any case, the Turi Evan was very often quoted on this point that Suffolk Divrei Kabbalah is the Hachmir. So that's one theory, that if you say Tisha B'Av is Divrei Kabbalah, why is it Divrei Kabbalah? Because again, the Pasuk in Zechariah makes reference to it. So too, we follow the rules of Suffolk Lahachmir. So just like on Shabbos, we're going to start observing Shabbos in Ben HaShemashos, so too by Tisha B'Av we'll start observing Tisha B'Av in Ben HaShemashos. However, you have another theory that's also brought in some Sifri HaChronim, that the reason we observe Ben HaShemashos of Tisha B'Av is Tisha B'Av is because of Tosefes. The din's like a din of Tosefes, Shabbos, and Yontif to start the day a little bit early, so too Tisha B'Av we want to start early. The question of whether or not Tosefes should be applicable to Tisha B'Av would seem to also revolve around this issue that we were talking about. That if you believe that Tisha B'Av is a day of Avelus, so again, our practice is we don't expand Avelus at all. Adrabah, normally we say Mixa Yom Kekula, we cut down Avelus, and we certainly have a mitzvah to add to Avelus. We usually say Akdume Pornus Olam Akdamina. We don't bring in bad things any earlier than we have to. But if Tisha B'Av is modeled after Yom Kippur, so then Adrabi, Yom Kippur is the source for Tosefes. All of Tosefes, Shabbos and Yom Tovim, comes from Yom Kippur. That is the most explicit reference in the Torah, the way the Gemara understands it in Rosh Hashanah on the Aftats, that Yom Kippur is the model for Tosefes. So if Tisha B'Av is following a Yom Kippur model, so then maybe it does make sense to say that the concept of Tosefes is relevant to Tisha B'Av as well. There is a discussion, Rishalti has a discussion in the Sefer, in Or HaChaim, in Simen Mem Tes, about the Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av. That on Tisha B'Av morning, we have a Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av morning, Kiso Libonim, and then in the afternoon we read Vayichal. So this is comparable to fast, all other fast days, we also have a Kriyas HaTorah in the morning and in the afternoon, but normally it's Vayichal both times, and Tisha B'Av it's different in the morning. So about this Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, so Rajalti has a suffix. Do we assume, how do we relate to this Kriyas HaTorah of Tisha B'Av morning? Do we say it's like a Tainus Kriyas HaTorah, like on every Tainus we have a Kriyas HaTorah in the morning? Or do we say it's like a Yontif Kriyas HaTorah? That just like every Yontif is a special laning that reflects the essence of that Yontif, so too Tisha B'Av should also have a special laning that reflects the essence of that Yontif. And this also seems to emanate from this question. Do we view... Sorry? I'll tell you that for me in a second. So, do we view Tisha B'Av as a Yontif, like Yom Kippur, and therefore it's entitled to a Kriyas HaTorah that reflects its theme just like every other Yontif? Or do we say that it's basically a fast day, and therefore the laning that we're going to have is going to reflect a fast day? So as Akiva was mouthing, L'may Nafkamina, right? So what difference does it make what we call this Kriyas HaTorah? So the difference is based on another Chakira that you find in the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger and in the Tshuvas Mechashas. Both of them have a suffix about the Kriyas HaTorah in Yom Kippur afternoon. That in Yom Kippur afternoon, we have a Kriyas HaTorah. And again, you could question what that's about, because we have two models for an afternoon Kriyas HaTorah. Normally, we only lane in the morning. When do we lane in the afternoon? So, on a Tainus and Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon we lane, and Tainus afternoon we lane. So, when we lane on Yom Kippur afternoon, is that a reflection of Tainus practices? Or is it a reflection of the fact that Shabbos Shabbos and that normal Yom Tovim are distinct from Shabbos, but Yom Kippur has properties of Shabbos, so therefore maybe Yom Kippur we lay in just like we do on Shabbos. Hi? Also, is Yom Kippur? I mean, the laning on Yom Kippur. The question is, the laning on Yom Kippur, what does it reflect? In the minds of Chazal, what does it reflect? Is it instituted to reflect the Yontif character, or the Shabbos character, actually? Or is it instituted to reflect the Tainis character? So, Lamai Nafkamina is that question. Sorry? Well, Bracha, the Bracha going to be different? Also, the Nusach of the Bracha Achrona might be a question. Well, the Haftorah Brachas might be a question. But the laning itself, the nafkamina may be for a chola. If you have somebody who's not fasting, so can such a person get an aliyah? So if you believe that the Kriyas HaTorah is reflective of the yontif, so he's holding in the yontif, so then he should get an aliyah for that. But if it's reflective of the tainus, so perhaps somebody who is not holding in the tainus can't get an aliyah for that. Hi? Well, not necessarily, because it's a yontif either way you look at it. And the question is, what's motivating the Kriyas HaTorah? Also, it's mincha anyway, so mincha has a different count. So in the morning. So basically, this same chakira that was asked by Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Macheshes in relation to the afternoon landing on Yom Kippur, the result they wanted to transfer that over to the Shachris laning on Tisha B'Av, do we say it's a Yontif laning? Or do we say it's a Tainus laning? And perhaps would have a nafkamina for somebody who's not fasting. So I say perhaps, but the truth is, it's a questionable assertion, as Rivzalti discusses. It's a questionable assertion on a number of fronts. Because even if one assumes it's a Tainus Kriyas HaTorah, so it happens to be not at all pashut that this presumption that somebody who's not fasting would not be able to get an aliyah, it's not really so clear that that's the case. That is there really such a notion that if you're not fasting, so you can't get an aliyah on a fast day? So a lot of Medjur Achronim thought that wasn't true. And the discussion why that is a Rashba. It could be that, first of all, let's presume somebody's not an Avarian, but he's eating because he's sick. So if somebody's eating because he's sick, so the fact is, he's certainly affected by the fast. He's certainly responding to the fast. He's not going to party. He's going to eat whatever he needs to survive, and then the rest of the time he's not eating. So he is influenced by the fast, and in any case, so right now when he gets the aliyah, chances are most people are not such mechutzofim that when they get called up for an aliyah on Tisha B'Av, they're going to go up there with a sandwich. Right? So they're not eating right now, so they're fasting at this minute. So that could also make a difference, and based on this, Rizalti has a discussion that maybe we should distinguish between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur on that front. That maybe even if one wants to be machmir and say that on Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, that if a person is not fasting, he can't get a tainus related aliyah. So maybe that's because Yom Kippur has two things going on. Yom Kippur has a prohibition to eat, and it has a status as a fast day that we know from Sukkim that the whole day itself creates a chefs of a fast. So if I'm eating at any time on Yom Kippur, so then maybe you can make the case that I no longer have this din of the fast as a whole unit, and therefore I'm not going to be able to call myself fasting at any point during the day. But, and this also gets into discussions that we've had about the ways Dinim D'Rabbanan operate, when you're coming to Tisha B'Av, so there's no status of the day of Tisha B'Av as a whole, rather there's a of the fast of Tisha B'Av as a whole, rather there's a prohibition to eat and drink on Tisha B'Av. So every minute of the day, there's a prohibition to be eating and drinking. So even if I was eating lunch this morning, even if I was eating breakfast in the morning, but at the moment of the Aliyah, so right now you are fasting, you're not eating, and this may even be applied to somebody who's eating B'Isser. Maybe even if somebody just wanted to have a party that morning, Isser Gomer, and this Lamaisa fasting now in the afternoon. So maybe even if one wanted to say that somebody who's not fasting can't get an aliyah, so maybe that still would not necessarily be true, because the person who at Lamaisa at the moment they're getting aliyah is fasting. It would have to nafkamina perhaps for somebody who's wearing leather shoes, which is also a discussion in Poskim, because that actually is a more conceivable scenario, that even if they're not going to come up with a sandwich, if they're wearing leather shoes, they will come up with that. So that's a little bit of discussion. Postgame, it all goes to this question of whether or not there really is such an exclusion for people who aren't fasting, whether or not such a thing carries through. Okay, so just to quickly review what we spoke about. So we mentioned that there is the special Chumrah to Tisha B'Av, Yom Shuvah Lo Hatzaris, and discussion in Tosfos, two theories why that is. Either qualitative Yom Chumrah based on Mikdash Chumrah Tvei, direct Chumrah Mikdash Chumrah Tvei, or quantitative Chuvah Lo Hatzaris Achas. And then the idea that Rabbi wanted to be Oikir Tisha B'Av, and Tosfos suggests either knocking down the Chumrahs or moving it from the 9th to the 10th. And there's a whole discussion, why don't we say that he can't be Mevatel in earlier Bezdin, and Rav suggested it was because of... was because he argued on a point of halacha, makrivin afal pisha in bais, and then discussed a little bit what it is about Tisha B'Av that makes it special in practice, and the Ramban's theory that because the other fast days are optional, so we willingly took them on in a modified format, and the Netziv had many objections to that, one of the most prominent being the question of how does that affect situations when there is Shemad. And therefore, the Netziv suggested it's not that Tisha B'Av is normal and everything else was knocked down, it's that everything else is normal and Tisha B'Av is enhanced because the way the Netziv understands it, because of Avelus. And then we mentioned the other possibility is because of the comparison to Yom Kippur, because of something inherent in the day. And then we discussed how the two possibilities in Tosfos, as Rav Elie Levin suggested, seem to parallel these two theories, and how, as the Avnei Sholem suggested, this could also explain the way Rebbe's position could be. Tosfos' theory about Rebbe's position and the Gemara's reflection of Rebbe's position can be reconciled, that the Gemara says that Rebbe wanted to forget about a push of Tisha B'Av, while Tosfos says he wanted always to be in the 10th, and we discussed how that could possibly work out. And then we discussed the question of the status of Tisha B'Av Nidcha, what is that, what has happened on Shabbos, do we say Dvar Mishpat Sinah, how does that affect Hashem Shemitah and Talmud Torah and things like that, and the question of the Kodesh and the Skadal on the Tisha B'Av Nidcha, and the issue of chinuch for Tisha B'Av, how that seems to relate to what the motivating factor of Tisha B'Av is, and then discuss the question of Shavuot Shechalbo when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, and we talked a little bit about Bein Hashmashos, the fact that that Bein Hashmashos is Aser, so is that a reflection of Safek Lechoma, or is that a reflection of Tosefes, and how that could also depend on the model. And we discussed the Surim of Rechitza and Sicha, and differences between Avelus and Tisha B'Av, and Avelus and Yom Kippur, and how that would affect Tisha B'Av. Is Tisha B'Av reflecting Avelus, or is it reflecting Yom Kippur? And discussed also the question of the Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av, the Chakir, whether that's reflective of the Yontif or reflective of the Tainus, and how a similar Chakir was asked by Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the Machashas related to the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur afternoon. And the presumptive nafkamina would be if somebody's not fasting, are they able to get an aliyah for such a Kriyas HaTorah? And then we discussed a little bit that itself is a questionable presumption, and many Achronim disagreed with it. And even if it is true, maybe there's a difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Maybe Yom Kippur, because of the way the Torah lays it out, so Yom Kippur has a status as a whole set, and if you're not fasting at any point, it's broken, while Tisha B'Av may just have a constantly renewing prohibition of eating and drinking, and therefore even somebody who ate during the earlier part of the day may still be considered to be fasting during the day itself. And in any case, this question of the nature of the Kriyas HaTorah may tie back to our question whether Tisha B'Av is reflective of Avelus or is reflective of some type of Yontif quality. Hi. I don't know if a distinction between the afternoon or not. We kind of glossed over it because it's presented differently in different svarim and avoid some of the confusing details. If you just look at the Mechas Chinuch, the way it comes down in Mechas Chinuch, is that the difference is that on Tisha B'Av, that an avil is allowed to wash in cold water, and on Tisha B'Av, apparently, that's not permissible. On Yom Kippur, it's not, and on Tisha B'Av, it's not. So that point, at that point, Mechas Chinuch says, you see that the Inuyim on Tisha B'Av is not about Avelus, because an Avel can do this. It's about Yom Kippur, and we follow the rules of Yom Kippur. And the Brisker Rav has a different vort in this, and he brings different points to suggest that basically the prohibition of washing is like an amalgam of both. And that's more complex, that's why we didn't spell it out. And there was a similar question raised about Sicha, that Sicha is... the way the Marchesh understood it, it was a dispute between the Bavli and Yerushalmi whether or not Sicha was mutter in order to have Yerzuma, And that also would reflect the question of, do we pattern it after Avelos when such a thing is mutter, or do we pattern it after Yom Kippur with a more machmir status? And that seems to reflect the same issue. Okay, so we should all have a meaningful fast, and Be'ez Hashem, if it is a fast, it should be the last one. And we should be zoicha very soon to the day when all 4 days are the basis of Shalos Asim Simcha.